Oh, Lord. We need the fear of God. In the last days, even the elect shall be deceived. The fear of God is the only way to know the difference between the real fire and the strange fire. We need the fear of God. We've got such a big task at hand, and it doesn't mean that we're not qualified for it. It doesn't mean that we can't do it. We are qualified and we are prepared by the Holy Ghost. But we've got to have Him, saints. We've got to be so wholly reliant on the Spirit of God. We've got to be so wholly reliant on unity in the body, so wholly reliant on honoring the Lord and honoring Pastor and on honoring the work of God. So wholly reliant that when Pastor gives words like he did this morning and he starts to hit that button of harvest again, that something in your heart just catches fire. Because I'm telling you, what is taking place right now in these end times is so big in the Lord's heart. I'm telling you that the 5 or the 10 people that you maybe believe in God for are vitally important. But the Lord is looking at the souls of mankind. He's looking at the 6 or 7 billion people here on this earth. Oh, I hope you're hungry. I hope you're hungry tonight. I hope you're so hungry tonight. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maria Woodworth Etter. Around 1900, her ministry is so powerful. I want to read you this vision that she had of the return of the Lord. I can't remember who talked about the return of the Lord in the last few months. But I remember Jesse Duplantis talking about his vision of heaven when he went to heaven. And the main thing, of all the things that he talked about, the main thing that the Lord took him to heaven, gave him that vision for, was that he would return and tell people that I'm coming. And I heard that. And when you look at all the craziness going on today with Iran and trying to get nuclear bombs and ISIS and all the things that are going on and prophecy being fulfilled, and you see everything that's taken place. And I remember the vision that Oral Roberts had back around 2000, sometime in that period where he looked up and he began to talk about we need preachers that have fire in the belly. He said, there's a wasting of my power. And man, that word has come to pass even more where you can see the seeker-sensitive movement and things. And we just don't even need to go there tonight. But a wasting of God's power. And he began to talk about the return of the Lord. And when somebody mentioned that within the last few months, I thought, Lord, I just don't get it. Lord, I just don't understand in my finite mind. I don't understand what you're trying to reveal to us. I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're saying. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, you have these funny memories. When I was a little kid, I remember we were out when all of our families came over. And when our family came over, all my cousins, those were the highlight of our week, highlight of our month. Because, you know, when you're 7 or 8 years old, that's all you need to make your life right there is to hang out with other little kids, your cousins. I remember we were out playing out in the side yard, and one of my little cousins hurt themselves, and I went running into the house, and I might have been 4 or 5 years old, where you can talk, but you don't have a full vocabulary. And I remember going in and talking and saying something to my dad, so-and-so, Dad, Laura hurt herself, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he just, you know, it was really a big deal to me. I thought, oh, this is a crisis moment. Call 911. Well, 911 didn't exist back then, but call an ambulance. You know, it's a big deal for a little kid, and my dad just, you know, he knew better. A little kid's going crazy, but my dad's an adult. He's matured. He knows better, and he didn't even do anything about it and went on and said something to the rest of the adults that I didn't even understand, and I'm just standing there like, what just happened? What did my dad just say? What did my dad just do? And I felt that way about the return of the Lord. I thought, Lord, what is it that's so important that you would take somebody to heaven and say, go tell my people that I'm coming. Go tell them. And Jesse Duplantis, if you heard the story, he said, Lord, they know that. And the Lord said, no, Jesse, they don't know that. They don't get it. Why would you reveal that to Oral Roberts about the return and the urgency of the whole message that he had, one of the greatest men of God in our time? Arguably, I would say the greatest man of God in our time. Why would you? Lord, I just don't get it. The magnitude of what you're saying. I know it's big, but I'm not catching what you're saying. And then I've been reading through this book, Maria Woodworth Etter's book, and I come to chapter 31, and she begins to talk about the return of the Lord. And I thought, and here I am reading this again. I want to read you what she said. She said, on March 24th, 1904, I fell under the operation of the power of God while praying for the healing of the last one at the altar. I saw the Savior on the cross and sinners coming to Him. I saw steps leading across the pearly gates of heaven. All those who plunged into the fountain were at once on the steps. Each one carried a light which grew brighter as they went higher. There was not a spot of defilement on their robes. I was made to understand that they were the light of the world and that their lamps were lighted in heaven. They had Christ in their souls. Each one had a bodyguard of angels escorting them on the upward journey. At the top of the steps were the pearly gates where heavenly hosts waited to welcome the pilgrims of earth. I saw that the world is in great darkness and that saints are very few. Many are called, but few are chosen or will accept. Many were under conviction, but trusted to water baptism or confirmation or church membership. But unless they are carrying the light of God, they are worse than an open sinner. The whole world lies in great darkness. And this is back in 1904. Imagine what she would say today. The whole world lies in great darkness except just a few. I saw the preparation of heaven and earth for the soon coming of Christ. Heaven seemed to be in a commotion. The Lord was marshaling His host, getting the horses and chariots ready. I love this part. Heaven seemed to be in a commotion. She had a vision of heaven, and heaven seemed to be in a commotion. The Lord was marshaling His hosts, getting the horses and chariots ready. The armies of heaven were moving. The gates were open. An angel came out of the gates, blowing the great trumpet. The Savior was taking the lead with all the glory of heaven, shouting to the saints in a loud voice that awaken the dead. So here she is seeing the return of the Lord. And heaven seemed to be in a great commotion. I've heard other preachers say this, other men of God say that they saw heaven, and heaven was in a commotion. They're just not sitting around in a cot, you know, having an angel fanning them while they're eating grapes, you know, the grapes of life, and just enjoying. I mean, heaven's busy. I don't know about you, but you got your cell phone, your smartphone, and text messages, and I love text messages because I can be on the phone and I can text message other people at the same time, you know, because we got a lot of stuff to do. And we're busy down here on this earth. Things have accelerated, but it's the same way in heaven. Hallelujah. Heaven is not just sitting around waiting for something to happen. And I want you to know tonight that the return of the Lord is not just a date off in the future on the schedule of God's time clock. But the return of the Lord is an event that has already been set in motion. And although He hasn't returned and the rapture of the saints hasn't taken place yet, we are already in that phase of God's time clock and God's plan. Because heaven is in a commotion. God is making things move. People up there are working. People on the earth are busy and working. And I want you to know that's the urgency that we sense here tonight. That's the urgency that we sense when we hear Pastor giving a call for souls and harvest. Hallelujah. I thank God that we have a pastor that this morning just said that he's more excited and concerned about 80,000 plus souls coming into the kingdom of God than 51 years in the ministry. He's counting that 80,000 souls, 80,001, 80,002, more than 51 and 52 years. I heard you say it this morning. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. It's the heart of God. So God's up to something. And it's big on the heart of God. Where are my notes here? I want you to look in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. While you're turning there, I'm going to finish reading you this vision that she had. The Lord was marshaling His hosts, getting the horses and the chariots ready, and the armies of heaven were moving. The gates were open. An angel came out of the gates blowing a trumpet, a great trumpet, and the Savior was taking the lead with all the glory of heaven, shouting to the saints in a loud voice that awaken the dead. The Lord showed me that He was judging His saints, separating the wheat from the tares, that the household of faith was getting their portion in meat in God's due season. The angel was sealing the last ones of the members of the bride, sealing them with the living God. Now let's turn. I want you to read in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Hallelujah. Luke 9, verse 51. Jesus, when He was going to the cross, He was focused entirely on the cross. I mean, He wasn't just shooting a game of dice on His life during His lifetime when He had the cross coming up in front of Him. I mean, how many of you have ever had a deadline coming up in your life of something very, very big? You know, if you're a lawyer, you're training to be an attorney, and you've got the bar exam coming. I mean, you don't just wait for the day of the bar exam to get serious about the exam. You sink yourself into that thing weeks, months, and years before that takes place. This event coming up here on Easter, what day is that going to be, Dan? April 5th. See, he knows it. Dan's helping spearhead that, really. He's this guy spearheading this. He has already been there. I mean, you're sometimes you might be so busy in your office thinking, is it April 5th already? I mean, he is already there in that event. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you right now? That when you've got something really big on your time clock, you know what? It's not about the hours and the days. You've got this event coming, and you've got to be prepared. It's that way as an evangelist when you have a crusade coming up overseas and you've got all these plans. Everything has to come into place. Well, it's the same with the Lord. You know, the things of heaven are not just automatic where even the Lord is just sitting around with nothing to do and waiting for the Father to suddenly shout and say, now's the day, Jesus, and then he gets up off his cot and decides he's going to get busy. No, his face is set to his return. His excitement, his zeal is set to his return. Read here in Luke chapter 9, verse 51 with me. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. This is his ascension, that he's going to go up to Jerusalem. He's going to get crucified. And he's going to ascend into heaven, is what happened in Acts chapter 1. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. Look at this. In verse 53, they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And that'd be a hard thing for Hollywood to portray. But here we have God Almighty. He is so focused on what is about to take place. I mean, this is so big in his heart. When you're talking about Jehovah God, the one that created all of creation, created, he breathed life into the souls that were about to crucify him. He created the tree that was soon turned into the cross that he was going to be hung upon. And he put the steel into the earth that someday was going to be made into a nail that was going to hang him to the cross. And you'd think, oh, this would just be a walkthrough for him. He ought to know what's going on, but I'm telling you that his face was so steadfastly set to Jerusalem that he couldn't do anything else. And other people tried to help him out, say, why don't you come over here? And they said, no, we can't do it. His face is steadfastly set to Jerusalem. And I want you to know tonight that his face is steadfastly set to his return. He is not just taking an easy road. He's not taking a vacation right now. But there's a fire burning in his heart. There's a fire burning in the heart of heaven. There's activity taking place in the place called heaven where people are saying it's time for the return of the Lord. Are you ready? Is your face set to the return of the Lord? Do you have that burning fire on the inside of you like Pastor was saying this morning where it's about the harvest? It's not about your own kingdom. It's not about your own plan. It's not about your own finances. But is it about the harvest in your life? Jesus' face is set on his return. I don't want to get off into visions and things too much. I just want to share with you what happened. As I was asking, Lord, what about your return? Why is it I just don't get it? And my understanding had been that there's just a date God knows, only the Father knows, you know, and he's got it set on his time clock of this is when it's going to happen. And I thought, Lord, you've been telling us about your return for 150, obviously thousands of years, but everybody for the last 150 years we know for sure has been prophesying, get ready, the return of the Lord is at hand. And I thought, Lord, I just don't understand what you're trying to tell us. I just don't get it. But if you read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want you to see this. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes real quick, chapter 3. About how God's time clock works. He says in verse 1, to everything there is a season, and to every time, and a time to every purpose. So the time is dictated by the purpose, and the season is dictated by the thing. In other words, the thing and the purpose that God is doing is what dictates the time. In other words, the thing of the return of the Lord. That day when that trumpet's going to sound, and I'm telling you that the Lord is going to return, He's going to come down with a shout. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He's going to come down and split the clouds, the eastern sky, with a shout and the sound of the trumpet. God, He's not going to do that because God had to force Him to shout. But I'm telling you, the Lord is so full of anticipation that whenever that time comes and the Father God releases Him, He's going to just come bursting through that eastern sky screaming, "Hallelujah, it's time, hallelujah. We've been waiting all these thousands of years." And I don't understand how something could be bigger in the heart of our Lord Jesus than the cross was. And I'm not saying it's bigger than the cross, but when His eyes and His focus is on the return, when He's looking and His face is set towards his return, there is something that is so big about that, that His zeal and His faith and His focus is focused and opening the door of the return of the Lord. And someday He's going to split that eastern sky and things are going to change, saints. The way that we see the world today, it's never going to go back the same way. Time is never going to be the same. All the time that we think about and the things that we consider and all the money that we think we have to have, and finances are important, don't get me wrong, but we can get our ideology and our hearts out of whack. People that God's called to be in the ministry, man, the devil can throw a career at them and they get so sucked up in the career that the ministry's out the door. Saw something on Facebook of a Hollywood actor recently talking about his Christian roots and how one of the most famous Hollywood actors, and he says he thinks he may have a call of God on his life. I'm telling you, it's not going to cut the mustard someday. I'm telling you. What are we doing with our time? You see, because to the Lord, His return is not something off in the future. His return is not something way off that He doesn't understand, like it has been at least with me. And I thought, Lord, I just don't get it. No, His return is already taking place. And before you think I'm trying to over-spiritualize it, let me explain it this way. Just say that some engineers got together and they said here in Fort Worth that they're going to build the tallest skyscraper that's ever been built. And it takes 7 years for them to build this skyscraper. Well, I want you to know, as soon as they start breaking ground, that skyscraper has started becoming a reality. And you don't have to wait till the day that they give a certificate of occupancy and people fill that skyscraper before it becomes a reality. No, that thing was a reality when the work started 7 or 8 years before. Well, God is so big in the heart of Jesus, is so big in the heart of God, that He wrote an entire book about it called the Book of Revelation. It's prophesied all throughout Scripture, and His eyes are set on His return. His eyes are focused, and I'm telling you, He is more excited about the gospel today. He is more excited about the work of the kingdom today than He has ever been in all of eternity. He saves the best for last. The glory of the latter house is greater than the former. The latter rain is greater than the former rain. So what God is doing today is greater, and it's bigger, and it's better than anything that He has ever done. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost ought to be greater and stronger than it has ever been. The manifestation of the miraculous ought to be bigger and stronger than it has ever been. The preaching of the Word ought to be bigger and stronger than it's ever been. And the fire burning in the hearts of people ought to be stronger and hotter than it's ever been. Hallelujah. And this is not an event where the church is just going to be wandering around doing their own little thing, using the gospel for a personal success seminar on how to better themselves and become a more boring them, and all the 7 steps to how to dilute, you know, you could just go off into that, but that's not the purpose of the gospel. That's why the apostles prophesied that there would be a falling away and even the elect would be deceived. Because the devil's fighting real hard. The devil's one of the stupid, he is the stupidest being ever to exist. Because he rebelled against the Lord. But he is smart enough to see that there's a whole lot going on in the realm of the spirit that he has no idea about what's taking place. It's the rapture. It's the return of the Lord. It's greater signs and wonders being poured out. It's greater harvest taking place than it's ever taken. And he doesn't understand it. And he is doing everything that he can to throw any kind of deception. If he can preach people that are called to preach with false success in another realm of the world. And if he can seduce churches and ministries across the United States to trim things, to trim the fire, to get rid of the gifts of the Spirit, to stop preaching the blood of Jesus, and to stop preaching altar calls, and to pull all of this stuff out. I heard of one church somebody went to preach to several years ago, and they said they don't do come forward altar calls anymore. If I showed up at a place like that, I'd just tell the preacher right then and there, well, you will tonight or I'm leaving, because I'm not going to do it. I made that decision back in the 90s. I'm not going to do it. I'll walk out and just, you can say what you want, but I'm not going to do that. Don't do come forward altar calls anymore. I'm telling you, Jesus is not returning for a bride that is off being seduced and doing all these kind of things and getting as carnal as she can possibly be for the return of the Lord. But there is a bride that is working and being prepared right now. And it's not something that's going to start one day before the return of the Lord. But it has been in motion this entire time. Just like it takes years to build a really awesome, fine skyscraper, the tallest one built. Just like it takes years in planning and preparation. And the engineers and the foreman and the financiers of those of that huge project, they're involved in that thing. And that skyscraper is a reality in their minds and in their action and their thoughts every day for years and years and years. That's the way the return of the Lord is right now. It is not like Jesus is just sitting around waiting for the trumpet to blow, and then he's going to jump up and say, all right, it's time to get busy. No, he is working. He is pressing. He is moving hard for the kingdom of God right now. He is active. He is focused. And just like his face was set towards Jerusalem, his face is set towards his return right now because he is coming back. Glory to God. Somebody praise God with me on that tonight. He is coming back. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hope it all mind. I just got to loosen up a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. In chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, that's the secular world, that's politicians, say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, you are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I'm telling you, the church that's got a hold of the fire of the Holy Ghost, the church that's got a hold of the return of the Lord, we are not to be sleeping and just goofing around and doing God knows what. I'm telling you, there ought to be a difference between us and the religious hierarchy of the day that's not after souls, that's not got the return of the Lord in their hearts. There ought to be a difference in us and the secular community that doesn't know the Lord. And there is, hallelujah, but we are not of the darkness, we are of the light. And I'm telling you, what's going to happen in these last days is that the light is going to get brighter and brighter, and the darkness is going to get darker and darker. And I heard Kenneth Copeland say this, and I see it here in Scripture. And he believes that the return of the Lord is going to take place when the church here on earth is getting so high in the things of God, so strong in the earth, so powerful in evangelism, and so high in revelation, that when the trumpet blows, we're just going to be one step away. That we're not going to be 500 miles away. And we're not going to be a million miles away and get totally caught off guard. But it's going to be the church that is so close to the heart of God that when Jesus breaks that eastern sky, we are literally just one step away from him. And we can just say, hallelujah, people just got saved. And the voice that comes through the eastern sky, yes, Lord. And you just go straight up like that. Because we are so close. It's busy in heaven and it's busy here on earth. I'm telling you, church, we are busy with the work of God. This is why it's been so intense all these years. Because we are already busy with the return of the Lord. After the Easter extravaganza is not the time for people to come up to Dan and Charlie and say, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I should have come. I should have been involved. And I just this and I just that. No, forget that. It's over. Well, after the return of the Lord is not the time for people that miss the rapture, saints that are going to miss the rapture because they weren't close to Him. They weren't winning souls. Their heart was not on fire. They were far from Him. They, of the 10 virgins, they were the 5 foolish virgins. I'm telling you how that's going to pan out. I don't even want to think about being one of those people. Got to be so full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, so close to the Lord, there's no question. But it's going to be too late. That's not the time to say, well, you know what, I need to go ahead and sell my land. I need to go ahead and sell this and put money into the kingdom of God. Well, I should have laid down my career and gone into the ministry. I knew that I should have gone and helped with the outreach for souls. That's going to be too late. That's not the time. Because there is going to come a time when it's over. There is going to come a time when the door is shut, when the opportunity is over, and you can't make any more changes. It's going to be too late to get busy then. And I'm sure the Lord's going to raise up people after the rapture that are going to do things. But I don't want to be one of those people. I don't know how that's going to pan out, but I'm not going to be here, and I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want to be so spiritually dense that I got to have that kind of a wake-up call. Carnal, 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 carnal. Lord, have mercy. How many Christians here in the United States are so far backslidden they think that all their salvation is fire insurance? Commit their life to the Lord, never show up in church. Commit their life to the Lord, never give a tithe. Commit their life to the Lord and just keep on smoking pot and drinking everything that they want to drink. I'm telling you, backslidden. I pray God that you make heaven, but I can't promise you that you will. Because how can you call Him Lord, Lord, and not do the things which He says? I don't even want to be close to that. I want to be the bride of Christ. I want to be the virgins that were prepared for the wedding feast with my lamp full of oil and ready to burn and already burning by the fire of the Holy Ghost. The Lord's face is set. So last night, I finished work and I had some extra time and I just went to the Trinity Park in my car. And it's got T-tops, it's kind of nice to go and I just spent some time praying, and I had no idea, but the Lord just began to reveal to me, answer some of these questions I'd asked about His return. It's like the eyes of my understanding were opened up, and I could just see this, you know, this extreme amount of activity in the realm of the Spirit and off in the future, and see that it's not an issue of a date in the future, but that Jesus, what He is doing with the return, that what has taken place with the return of the Lord is something it's going to happen in the future, but it's already in place. It's already taken place right now. He is already fast at work, and it's not a separate event from what is happening right now. Do you see what I'm saying here tonight? We're already in that event. Not that He's returned, but it's not a separate happenstance. He has already started the work. He has already started the motion. He has already started, and He is so focused on His return. He is so focused on getting every soul saved that He possibly can. He is so focused on pouring out His Spirit and seeing the gospel preached before He comes. And I just begin to understand that with the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And the urgency in His heart to see His bride get ready, the urgency in His heart to see the gospel preached so that event can come and it can take place in fullness and not a single person be lost. Hallelujah. And as it says in Ecclesiastes, that the thing determines the season. So I don't know about you tonight, but the Lord has given us just a clarion call saying, get His return on your heart. Get His return on your mind. And see the urgency, because we have to get away. We have to break away from the mindset that is a fixed date in the future that nothing is going to change. It's a fixed date in the future that we have no part of, because that is not a truth. That is a lie from the devil. It is not. God is not looking at it as a date that just something's going to happen. He is looking at it as a massive work of the Spirit of God, a massive work of the harvest, a massive work of preaching the gospel that is taking place right now. And he is saying, go, Joe and Becky Cruz, preach the gospel around the world. See greater work of the Spirit in your meetings. He is saying, go, Calvary Cathedral, go past 80,000, go 160,000 and see the gospel preached in the city. Turn the city upside down, because it'll hasten my return. That's what the Lord is saying. He's kicking the gates. He's kicking the borders. He's kicking those restraints out so he can get the church preaching the gospel. Because he's wanting to return right now. It's urgent in his heart right now. If things were ready, he would return right now. If things were ready, he would return right now. We are not waiting on God, but God is waiting on us. We can't interpret the long suffering of the Lord. It's harshness, but it's long-suffering that all would come to salvation, that all would come to repentance, that all would come to salvation. That's why he's pressing. That's why the saints that get the fire of God in their soul, that's why the preachers that get the fire of the Holy Ghost in their hearts are the ones that are pressing. There's an urgency. That's why I don't understand, you know, things when people don't want to press the ministry. That's why I don't understand why somebody would want to change the order of a church and go to 45-minute services and just rack them up and not give altar calls. I can't even understand that kind of a thing, because the Lord's looking at his rapture. He's looking at his return. His face is fixed. If you really get a glimpse and a revelation of the Lord, you're going to be just like the people said in Luke chapter 9. You can't even talk to him about something else because he's looking at his return. You can't get a revelation of the Lord. You can't get close to him without an urgency for souls, without an urgency for the times being pressed into your heart, and without an urgency for his return being burned into your soul. You can't get close to him because his face is fixed like a flint on his return. Hallelujah. His face is fixed on his return. You can't get close to him without your heart getting burning alive with a heart for souls. With a heart for the harvest. Because like I've said before, with the Lord, harvest is family. Man, if somebody in your family got abducted and you didn't know where they were, it would no longer be a financial decision. It would no longer be a scheduling decision. I'm telling you, if there's a $500,000 ransom, you're going to the life insurance company and saying, fork the money over right now. I mean, if you knew somebody that was, if you could look up Rambo in the Yellow Pages and hire Rambo, send him over there, go kill them all, get my family back, that's what you would do. You'd be going after your family. That's why Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Because it's not like we can just sit around and say, well, I'm not called to be an evangelist, therefore I don't have to win souls. No, that's not the heart of God. I'm telling you that all fivefold of the ministry and all the lay people, we've got to be doing our part. All hands on deck, whatever your part is. And I know that you're not called to be a full-time evangelist. I know what you know what your calling is. But I'm telling you that we've all got to have a part. And I'll be playing our part and bringing money. If you're a businessman, bring in money into the kingdom of God. And don't go blow it on a $250,000 yacht on the eastern seaboard so you can go and have a drink here and there. Put the money into the gospel. Put the money into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, if you're a lady single and in your upper years, what about praying for the harvest? What about catching things that pastor says on a Sunday morning and you just think, I'm going to pray that through for pastor. You may think, I can't go out. I can't go out and preach around the world. I can't go do all this business. Ma'am, you can shake up more things in the realm of the Spirit through your earnest, steadfast prayer by the Holy Ghost than some preachers can do in a lifetime. You may think, well, I'm called to children's ministry. You can do more in the children's ministry underneath Robert and Pam. Whatever your part is, all hands on deck. So last night as I was praying, I asked the Lord about something. And you know, he does care about us. He does care about us individually. But I asked the Lord about something, and it was like he said, okay, yeah. And then he just turned around and began to look at his return. And this is what he was revealing to me. He doesn't speak this way all the time, but it was like I asked the Lord about something personal that was about me. And he's like, okay, yeah, this. And he just turned and he began to, I could just see him in my heart, Pastor, just focusing on his return. I mean, he's got a task at hand. And there's a fire in his eyes, a two-edged sword in his mouth. You know, that's not just a fun revelation that John the Revelator saw on the Isle of Patmos. But he's got a fire in his eyes because it's burning on inside of him so hot and heavy that he just can't help it anymore. He's got a two-edged sword in his mouth because there's power in his gospel that he preaches. He is so focused on that. I'm telling you, there comes a time when we have to stop just focusing so much on ourselves, and you do need to take care of yourself. I'm not saying quit praying for yourself. I'm not saying quit praying over your personal finances. Keep doing that, but there does come a time when you've got to just say, I'm going to enlist myself in the army of God. You know what? There's not necessarily a draft where we can come and force you to come and enlist into the army of God, but there does come a time when is the fire burning in your heart enough? Are you close enough to the Lord to see that his face is focused on his return, his face is focused on the harvest, that you're going to do something about it? I'm telling you right now, those of you in this place that are making a decision about the ministry, and some of you making a decision about helping with the outreach and the power tower, it's always going to require a step of faith. Always. You say, David, you're in business. You got all this money that just funds every gospel thing that you ever could dream of. No, you're crazy. It always requires faith. I do have a side business, but it's not like just millions and millions are flowing in. This is a side note, but you want to ruin a young preacher, just give him all the money that he could possibly want to do whatever he wants in the gospel and the ministry. He's going to go so far off in the wrong direction. And that's why what the Lord spoke to us a week or so ago, the money has got to be holy and handled with the fear of God. Hallelujah. But the Lord's speaking to people, many of us here tonight, man, on a higher level than where David King is speaking, wherever you're at, speaking to you right now, saying it's time for you to make a move. It's always going to require faith. The personal finances are never going to be paid for 100 years in advance to fund every ministry endeavor that you could ever want before you step out in faith. You're always going to need things. There's always going to be faith required in the realm of the natural. So if you're sitting around waiting for this to happen in the natural, sitting around waiting for that to happen before you obey God, then you're probably never going to obey God on that. It always requires faith to do the will of God. It always requires laying something on the altar. And I want to ask you right now, is the fire burning in your heart enough for you to do it? Because when the Lord returns, I'm like Bobby Crow. I want to have all my accounts at zero. I don't want to have $500,000. I don't want to have $1.5 million in some retirement account because I refuse to put it in the gospel. I didn't sow the money into first fruits. I didn't put it into the gospel because I needed $5 million in my retirement account. And then the Lord returns and your $5 million is wasted. How many souls could have gotten saved through all of that? And I'm not saying don't have a retirement account and don't plan and don't have a savings. I'm saying obey the Lord with what you have and with your life. You need to have a retirement account. You need to have savings before you misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying when the Lord returns, I'm going to be listening, Lord. All right, I've got my retirement account. Is it time to empty the whole thing? Because I don't want to have a dime in my retirement account. I don't want to have a dime in my savings when the Lord returns. I want to have every single bit of it put in the gospel. I'm telling you, can watch. I believe that there are some preachers, Pastor Bob, Brother Rodney, and some others that were so close to the Lord that it's like when the stock market begins to change and some of the big heavy hitters in the stock market begin to buy a certain amount of stock and all the little guys catch on. Oh, look at what they're buying. We need to go buy that. Well, I believe there are going to be some preachers, some men and women of God, and some elderly saints that nobody knows who they are, but heaven and hell know who they are because they know how to pray. You could almost watch them in the realm of the Spirit. Oh, no. There are a bunch of saints that have sold all their property. There are a bunch of saints that have emptied all their accounts. The return of the Lord must be soon. I heard Bobby Crow say that. He said one reason that he knows the Lord isn't going to announce the date that he's going to return is because people like him would empty all his bank accounts and overdraw all of his credit cards and put it into the gospel. Just imagine that. Just overdraw everything he's got. Max out his credit cards, put it into the gospel. You know, and then the Lord returns, hallelujah, I don't have to pay that bill. I want to be ready. I don't want to leave anything on the table. We don't have a chance to do this again. We don't have a chance to do this again. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. Hallelujah. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Oh, I don't know what the trump of God sounds like, but I'm looking forward to hearing that. It's going to happen. And I pray everything that we do hastens his return. I heard somebody prophesy that the trumpet has been put to the angel's lips. With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all are the best. Praise team, y'all are the best. Y'all just follow the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 I don't feel like I'm going to give a healing altar, healing line right now, but after the service, if anybody needs healing, please come to the forward, and I'll pray. Come to the front, and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just respond to the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just preached the return of the Lord tonight. I didn't even start one line of my message. So we're just going to follow the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. That's the message tonight, the return of the Lord. His face is set on it. What is your face set on tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just bring that up a little bit. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Koma la mara mama mara na 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 na. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, la basan kama lambra nera masan kama lambra osu karara masan kama lambra nera. Jesus. Jesus, burn it in our hearts. Burn it in our hearts, the return. Your return is nigh at hand. This is why, Lord, you keep telling saints from Maria Woodworth Eder all the way up till today that your return is nigh at hand. It's right at the door. Hallelujah. Lord, show us, reveal to us, and burn it in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is dealing with people right now that there is a significant move for you to make. A significant move for you to make in your life. It may be something in your heart that's going to commit to this greater than ever before. Or it may be selling something and bringing money into the gospel. It may be trimming back something in your life and coming and volunteering here in the soul winning. It may be laying down something in your life. It may be some of you need to answer the call to ministry right now. If that's you, I just want you to come in over here to this side of the altar. If that's you, I want you to come over here right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's putting a move in your heart. Just come over here to this left side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, saints, there's so much of an open heaven in this place right now. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, just stay connected with the Holy Ghost. Keep your eyes on Jesus right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we see your return. Lord, we see you splitting the eastern sky. Oh, Lord, we hear in our hearts the sound of the trumpet. We hear in our hearts your shout as you split the eastern sky. Kola mama, let our hearts burn with the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, my son, gotta get hungry right now. I'm telling you, everybody out in your seats and those of you up here in the front, get hungry for the Lord. Begin to cry out to Him. I'm telling you, it's time to rend your heart and not your garments. It's time to open up your heart like never before. Oh, y'all go ahead and sing that if y'all could. It was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, by the Holy Ghost. Oh, by the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
I want more of you, God.
Hallelujah.
Set a fire down.
Thank you, Jesus.
That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
I want more of
by the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost burn in you. In Jesus' name. You are a soul winner. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my mama, by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost burn in you. Burn in you. The fire of the Holy Ghost burn in you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost burn in you. Fire of the Holy Ghost burn in you, Gerard. Hallelujah, hallelujah, by the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost burn in you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The fire of the Holy Ghost burn in you. Do it. Do it. Do it. In the name of Jesus, do it. The fire of the Holy Ghost. the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Fire down in my soul, and I can't contain.
Holy Ghost, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The fire of the Holy Ghost in you. Shake him up, Holy Ghost. For a second, we have the Easter extravaganza coming up. Is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Three entire weeks ahead of us. We need those of you here tonight to just make a call and a response to be soul winners. We need soul winners right now. And I'm telling you, some of you need to just make a move. If you have the time, if you're squeezing for the time, and you need to make a move these next 3 weeks and make an extra effort, come out and soul win. I want the ones that are already committed soul winners that you're coming out to come down here to this side over here. I want you all to come first. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want to make a call for those of you here tonight. If you're already in this line over here, then you can move and come over to this side. But I want to make a call for those of you here tonight that you can come at least once a week for the next 3 weeks and help us soul win. I want you to come down here to the front. Make a move tonight. I'm telling you, there are people that need to make a move. You need to come down here. You need to stand with us in the soul winning. You need to be a part to do the work of an evangelist. Just come on over here. If you can't, you're not somebody who's coming out all the time, but you can come for the next 3 weeks. You can come at least one day out of the week and be a part. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Say, I haven't been out soul winning. We will train you. We will make it easy for you. Just step out of your seat right now. Come down here to the front. I know the Lord's dealing with some more people. Step out of your seat and come down to the front so you can make one day, if it's a Saturday, out of the next 3 weeks, you can commit to be a part. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This whole group right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome. Why don't everybody up here just raise your hands? We're going to lay hands on you. And Dan, once you start on that side and you just work your way to the middle. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Ghost on you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Ghost on you in the name of Jesus. The fire of the Holy Ghost on you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ministers are a flame of fire. Ministers are a flame of fire by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The fire of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Fire of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Soul winners by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost on you. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The fire of the Holy Ghost.
I want more.
Fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, Lord. The fire of the Holy Ghost.
I want more.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name.
Well, I believe this is the generation of them that seek God.
Yeah.
And I know at least the heart of Calvary is exactly there tonight. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God that is prayed and taught, preached in this house. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the souls that have been won. Thank you for the mighty harvest of souls. Thank you for the witness out there that has gone forth. Thank you for the laborers. Lord, we pray as we said this morning, the fields are whitened unto harvest. Oh, the Word of God admonishes us to pray the Lord of harvest that He send forth laborers into His harvest. Oh, Lord, it's your harvest. And we are blessed and we are rewarded in the going. We just cry for the will of God this week and in the days to come at Calvary Cathedral International. Could you just, 2-3 moments, just thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Father, we just set ourselves in agreement tonight. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Yes, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In this house, in every facet of ministry of this house, Lord, we pray for our Christian school. I just really felt an urgency the last little while. Join your heart with me. Let's cry for the will of God at Calvary Christian Academy. It's like a church. It takes more than a name. It's the Spirit of God. Father, we just lift up our Christian school. Lord, so many miracles are responsible for that school being there. That school could have been ancient history or recent history. But Father, you've kept and you've preserved it. We just cry for the will of God. Father, all the way through that school, Lord, let every school teacher have a heart for God. Let every school teacher, let every school teacher's family and children have a heart for God, we pray. A hunger for God. We appreciate their teaching talents, but Father, oh, just let a hunger for God sweep through, we pray. In the name of Jesus. 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 Lord, people that are not mad at this church, they love this church, they love us, but Father, they just get careless about the cares of this life. We're like those soils in Mark 4. Cares of this life. There's just too much stuff. Too much stuff to get our attention. A lot of stuff. Oh God, that stuff's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. It's what our brother's been preaching tonight. Stuff's going to burn up. But oh, the pure gold is not going to burn up. Father, I just... Lord, help us to keep the main thing here at Calvary. Hallelujah. We call in hungry people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call them in. We call them in. People that are hungry for God. People that are hungry for the things of God. Those that don't even know God, that they come in, they're born again, and they grow in grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we call in money from the north, the south, the east, and the west to do the work of God, to carry on the work of God. Lord, we pray for our powerful television station there in Kampala tonight. Lord, one of the greatest missionary miracles in the world. I don't know of a missionary miracle that is greater. And yet, Father, to God be the glory. Father, we just pray, protect those grounds, protect the tower. Protect, Lord, all that transmits that signal out. Protect those grounds. Protect the studios. Protect, Lord, the workers there. Some 18 workers that we have. All the shifts, 24 hours a day. Oh, let the angel, the mighty angels of God, stand guard over that house. Now as we go home, we just thank you. We go home in the name of Jesus. Ha-ha. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good week. It's going to be a good week, saints. We agreed on that. It's going to be a safe week. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a week of prayer, a week of calling upon the Lord. Bless the ladies as they gather tomorrow evening, Father, 6:30. Just anoint them. Anoint that time together. The Wednesday service, right on into the weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. If you'd like to be a blessing to our dear brother David, leave it here on the altar. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heaven is real and death is alive.